It's like, if I want to get out of survival mode, I've got to once again hit pause on the things that I'm doing and decide like what's working and what's not, right? Where am I feeling like I'm barely treading water and what needs to change? Like being willing to say, like, this is working and this isn't, and what can I do about it?
Are you raising a family while also feeling like you're still growing up yourself? Do you wonder if you are getting it right? Or do you ask, where's the roadmap to building a happy, healthy life? Welcome to Growing Up with Dr. Sarah. She's a pediatrician and a mom, and she helps the whole family.
Hi, I'm Dr. Sarah Adams, a board-certified pediatrician, but I'm not your pediatrician. Feel free to use my podcast as helpful information, but in no way do I intend my podcast to replace the advice of your physician. Your physician knows you and is in the best position to provide medical advice.
Welcome back to Growing Up with Dr. Sarah. Today's episode is all about something many of us struggle with, but don't often talk about: how to live with more intention as a parent, especially when life feels overwhelming. We'll talk about common struggles like burnout, guilt, and the myth of balance, and share practical tips you can start using today. Whether you're in the thick of raising littles or navigating the teen years, this episode is for you. I'm joined by a special guest, a life coach and a fellow mom, Lauren Nanny, who helps women get unstuck, reconnect with their goals, and build a life that works for their family, not just around it. Welcome back, Lauren. It's always great when I get to talk to you one of my favorite topics, right? Parenthood.
Yes. Thanks so much for having me back. I'm excited to be here.
Well, I'm always impressed by the work that you do as a life coach. And one of the programs that you developed was called Design Your Life.
Yes.
Let's talk about designing your life as a parent. And what does that really mean?
Oh, my favorite topic. So designing your life as a parent, you know, this is really about taking a second, right? Hitting pause on just like the automatic unconscious behaviors, patterns, like how we just consistently show up and asking ourselves, like, who do I want to be? Who do I want to be as a mom? Right? Like, how do I want to live my life with this new person involved? Right? Or if like you are already in the thick of parenting, it's like, I want to redecide and redesign how I've been doing things and really like bringing yourself into the awareness of like, I get to choose, right? Like, I have a choice. And it's like, how am I going to make it happen? Versus like just assuming that this is how it has to be or this is how I should do it. It's like, what do you want? And take some time figuring that out.
It's exactly what you said. You get to design how you live your life and how you parent through that as well.
Yes. And really, you know, if I had to break down the word design, I think about it like, you know, deciding intentionally, this is what I want. And then going through your life and learning how to create it. Learning how to pivot when things don't go your way, learning how to bring it to life, learning how to implement it in your current circumstances while you're working on changing other things, right? Like, you are a designer. You're laying out the plans. And then when you get in there, things might not always go as planned, but also believing that like, I have the capabilities to still do something about this.
And I know sometimes parents, well, maybe not sometimes, many parents feel stuck in that survival mode, right? They're just going day to day. How can they begin to shift towards a more intentional way of living?
Yes, so good. You know, I think being intentional is such a game changer for every area of your life, but especially when, you know, we show up to take care of other people. It's like, if I want to get out of survival mode, I've got to once again hit pause on the things that I'm doing and decide like what's working and what's not, right? Where am I feeling like I'm barely treading water and what needs to change? Like being willing to say like, this is working and this isn't, and what can I do about it? You know, and for me, when I feel like, oh my gosh, there's like piling on the to-dos, I'm getting behind, like all of that stuff just starts adding up. I know that I need to take, I'm calling it a second, but I need to take a couple minutes a night or something and like either look at my calendar, either talk to my husband, like communicate, like put plans in place. Because I'm like, the train is just going to keep going off the tracks. But I do believe like I have the power to change that. Like that's a belief that really serves me. And I'm like, and I'm going to be intentional with it. Right. So I'm like, if intentionally, I'm going to design each day to the best of my abilities.
What are some of those daily mindset habits or routines that you suggest for that can really help parents feel more grounded and empowered and not feel like they're just treading water?
Yes. So I feel like I have two.
Okay.
One that's like recently really been helping me is that I look at the month kind of like I like zoom out and I look at the whole month. I had this story for so long that I was always behind on the things, on the social responsibilities, like buying the gifts, bringing the appetizer I committed to like 3 weeks ago. Like so many things would pile up that I was always just like, I can't get it right. Like I can't get my stuff together. And so I decided finally, because I'm a person that's really motivated by pain. Like you can be motivated by pain or pleasure, but like what gets me going to actually change is like, I can't do this anymore. Like I can't be going to the store 5 minutes before a party, buying the card, right? And then everybody else in the car is stressed out. I've rushed everybody. And so what I've been doing is I look at the month in its entirety and I try to just plan ahead. Like I just take a look versus always like being surprised, right? And like, oh, it's already here. And I'm like, what can I do now to get myself ready for that? And then I check in every single day. Like I like to say, like, we have to remember to remember. Like I have to remember to look at the calendar for the things that I said I was going to do. Right. So it's like one, put it on your calendar, and two, remember. Remember to look at it.
For sure. I've found myself forgetting to look at it. And I like your perspective of look at the whole month instead of, but also checking day to day, because if you have a big picture and then you're checking in day to day, you're less likely for those things to fall through the cracks, like you mentioned. And I know some people might be listening, like a birthday present or even a birthday party. I hate to say this, I know for a fact and can, I still remember like now what 30 years later about a birthday party. I totally forgot to take Ben to one time. And again, that was 30 years ago. I still remember it. So obviously
yes,
it meant something to me. So even those little things can really mean a lot.
Absolutely. And I also think like finding something like that's kind of like maybe a strategy. But for me, I'm like, how am I going to start my day? Like, or how I'm going to start my day is going to determine usually how it kicks off and how it like it expands into my morning to my afternoon. And I'm like, I need to do something simple to feel good, whether that's like I go on a walk with my friend or I sit for 5 minutes in silence or with my journal instead of my phone. I'm like, I can only control me and I've got to take all of that energy and place it here, right? And what's going to fill my cup? What's going to help me empty my beaker? Like, what's going to make me feel good?
I love that. I love that analogy, filling your cup and emptying your beaker. All that, both two things that are so important that we forget, because if we don't empty, it just overflows, right? But we also need to find meaning in filling it up as well.
Yes, totally. And I feel like some activities can do the same thing. They can empty your beaker and they can fill your cup, which is always two for one. Who doesn't love that?
Yes, especially as busy parents, time savers are always a good thing.
Yes.
Well, this is such thoughtful and structural, practical advice. Can you tell us what exactly is a life coach? And I'd love to hear more about your background and how you come to work as a life coach and do so as the perspective of a mom.
Yes. So a life coach is basically somebody that helps you do the things that you say you want to do. Right? Like I help you go from point A to point B and work through all of that mind drama in the middle, right? All the times like that fear pops up, like you get blocked, you stop, you quit, you go back. Right? Like I just help you keep going, right? Stopping, keep going so that you can get there. Because like we're here to live our most fulfilled, authentic life. Like that is invaluable. And I believe like that is my mission here on earth to do that. Like I say, my professional personal mission is to promote possibility. Because like when you focus on what can be possible, like you keep going. Like I always said, like I was someone that was really stuck. Like I had these goals and these dreams, but I kept bumping up. And I was like, well, if I just show up today and focus on what could be possible, like eventually something's got to give. Like I just got to see what could happen today. And it worked, right? But it took me a long time. And so now my mission here is to save people a lot of time because we've got lives to live and we want to feel good and we deserve to feel good.
I love that. So I'm very proud of you. And in full disclosure, I'd love to share that one of my favorite experts is my very own daughter-in-law. So I often get to see up close and personal how you put to practice what you write about. How do you do so as a perspective of a mom now in regards to being a life coach?
Well, it's kind of funny because I had no idea that the work I started to do on myself over a decade now would be the most invaluable work tools shifts that I use as a mom. Like, I didn't even know it was going to translate into that, right? And so that really comes back to basically all the things that I shared. Like, I can't control her, right? I can maybe minimize or put like boundaries on what she can and can't do, but like, she's going to show up as who she wants to be that day. But like, when I go inward, when I decide, when I take care of me, like, I show up so much better for her, right? Like, I know that there's going to be bumps in the road. I know that things aren't going to go as planned. I know that emotions are going to be high and low. And it's like, I can handle this, right? Like, I believe, like, I can figure it out. Like, it's going to be messy. I'm not going to know all the time, but I'm willing to figure it out. And like, that thought just really serves me. It's like, I've never done this before. So I'm not going to tell myself like I should have an answer to every single thing, but like following my gut, listening to what I need, asking for help, like I really believe they're just, you know, some of the tools that have just really helped.
And when you say her, if it's okay that I mention, you're talking about your own daughter.
Yes. I have a daughter named Ava. She's going to be 2 in August and she is the best, but I'm biased.
I think I'm a little biased too,
yes.
But I get it because, you know, I remember listening. So I'm in one of Lauren's programs called Promoting Possibility, and she has a great talk called Mom's Life. And it's awesome when you think about it, because even as kids change, we have to change. And as parents, we become overwhelmed. We become burnt out and sometimes even just stuck. So what do you say to parents who are feeling that overwhelmed, that burnout?
So I would assume kind of you're talking about like those tough moments or just like maybe like burnout over time. Something that I have experienced in my like short window of, you know, being a mom is that those tough moments pass.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to come back around, but like, not everything is permanent. I think we get into that mindset that like, this is just how it is forever now. But like, for sleep, for instance, I feel like sometimes she's like a great sleeper. And then we'll go through a stretch of like, nothing works. We're like in the hallway, pushing in a stroller. We're going for a drive or like something like that. And it feels like, oh, this is just how she's going to be now. And I've just seen over time that like, that doesn't last. It's usually like a couple days. And I'm like, and I just place my focus on that. And I place my focus on helping her. That helps me stay out of, you know, my stories and my drama, you know, and I just, I'm like, how can I help? How can I help? But I also, when I'm feeling overwhelmed and really burnt out, like I'm asking for help from somebody else too, if I can.
Yes. Yes.
You know, like I feel like I've learned my limits and my capacity, and I'm willing to say I need someone to step in, like even it's like 5 minutes or can you try to put her to sleep and then I'll come back in. But I just think like being able to ask for help is also, you know, a skill too, if you can.
So I have 2 comments about that. And thanks for sharing that. I remember my own mom would tell me, this too shall pass. And that's, you know, people have heard that phrase before, but that really helped me because for those moments that you feel, again, like you said, overwhelmed and think it's just like a roller coaster sometimes being a parent.
Mm-hmm.
And what goes up comes down and there's some easy days. And so let's talk about that balance. Like, do you believe in it or is there something else we should be striving for?
Oh, that word, it gets me good. I've always been so like annoyed with it. It just goes back long, long time ago. But I'm just like, what is that? What is balance? Like, I don't feel like I've ever lived a balanced life if we're talking about things being equal, 50-50.
Mm-hmm.
Like even when I was in school, like I was a student majority of my days and then I went to play sports, you know? And so, or like when you're like really little, you're just playing and you're hanging and you're doing that. But like balance, like I don't know, like, to me, nothing was ever really equal. And then I'm an adult, and it's like you spend your time working or traveling. It's like, or working or with your kids. Or to me, it's never, ever been 50-50. And I don't think we need that to feel good. What I think that we are asking for, and what I have seen working with people one-on-one, is that we want more intention, more organization, and reprioritization.
Mm.
So it's like,
yeah,
I don't spend the same amount of time in the gym as I do at work or as I do with Ava, but I don't need the same amount of time in the gym for it to work for me, for it to make me feel better, for it to hit my physical goals, but also like my mental health. Like, I just don't need 8 hours. I sometimes need 30 minutes, if that. Right? So
yeah.
I don't need it to be equal. I just need to get on the calendar, and I need it to be mm-hmm. consistent.
If you liked today's episode so far and it hits close to home for you, please like and subscribe to the podcast. It just takes one click. And please share it with other parents. And if you have topics you'd like me to discuss here on Growing Up with Dr. Sarah, reach out to us, leave us a voice message. Instructions are in the description box below. Stick with me. Our life coach has some practical tools that everyone can use.
You know, same with like social outings. I'm like, yeah, I'd love to see my friends. I need to prioritize that more. But I know that like, I don't necessarily get that as much as I do working or being at home or whatever it might be. But that's okay. And I'm good with that. And I can increase it if I want, but knowing that it doesn't have to be equal in order for it to make me feel better or fill that social cup. But I think that's where it comes back to like really designing your life is like hitting pause and saying, what do I need more of or what do I need less of? Because I want to add something to the burnout comment. I really do believe sometimes it's like there's a power in saying no to things. Because sometimes
yes.
it's just simply too much, right? Or doing things we don't really want to do to please everybody else. But I think there is a time and a place to say, what do I need, right? And like under promise, over deliver. It's like, I will see if I can make it. I'm not sure. I'll do my best. And then if you can, great. And if not, it's like, well, you didn't commit.
I heard someone say once that no is a full sentence.
Yes. Oh, yes.
So let that sink in a little bit. No is a complete sentence. And it took me a long time to realize that. And I know many of us feel that. But what I also found out is that the more I really knew my limits and what and was able to say no sometimes, then it made the yeses so much better. Because when we're saying yes all the time, we do feel overwhelmed, we feel burnt out, and we don't enjoy all the things that we're just committing to. And then we get that guilt, which I'm going to transition into guilt. Let's talk about it.
Yeah.
I know a lot of parents feel, and there's, I mean, guilt covers so many different avenues when it comes to parenthood. But let's talk about guilt when it comes to taking care of ourselves. You talked about goals. What about going after our own personal goals? How do you help people reframe that so that they don't feel that guilt?
Yes. What I have noticed is it's about allowing people to see that it is safe to prioritize yourself, right? And that it is beneficial to not only you, but to everybody involved.
Right.
Like Ava's barely 2 years old. She's not. She's 21 months. And I've been training for a half marathon, for two half marathons for this whole year. And she can already see, mommy runs, you know, and then she'll run around the apartment. And it's really interesting, right? Like you're showing them that it's good and safe and, you know, important to have goals, right? They might not know that they are goals, but it's like, oh, you're teaching them by how you're showing up for yourself. And, you know, in terms of guilt, I really think that it's like, give yourself an experiment to see that you don't need all this time, right, to feel better. And when you feel better, how much better do you show up for your kids, for your partner?
Yes, yes. So important, because when we do take care of ourselves, I mean, we know this. It's when we take care of ourselves, we're better for those around us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You wrote something in what you call Letters from a Life Coach. And
yes.
I'd like to shift here for a minute and read it, if I may.
Oh, yes.
So it says, I realized yesterday that we're not just waking up, working, taking the dog out, figuring out dinner, managing schedules, and doing bedtime. but instead we're building a whole dang life. It's funny how the routine and the day-to-day get overlooked until it all of a sudden your entire life has gone by. I'm living my life right now, and I'm determined not to miss it. I get goosebumps every time I read that. How do you remind parents all these moments in the day equal a full life?
Yeah, so good. Well, thank you for reading that. So for me, where I realize this, and this, like, you know, might help somebody else, is that the weeks feel like they fly by. And sometimes it feels like you're just waiting for the next moment or the next moment or that vacation or that holiday. But like majority of our time is doing the mundane or the typical or the routine. And I'm like, wow, that is my life too. And it wasn't necessarily a brand new realization, but a realization in the sense of, that was another day that's gone by with her at that age. That was another moment that I really don't get back. And somehow, like, I almost have a 2-year-old. Like, I was here the whole time, and I'm like, where did the time go, right? And I really tried to be present. And I'm like, it was almost like a slowing down that made me realize, like, these are the important days too. You know, everybody says, like, you'll miss them, right? Like, yeah, like, the hard moments are hard, but it's like, there's a lot of good in there too. And I was like, I just don't want to miss it, you know? So sometimes I really am the too much parent of like, I'll do this. I'll bring her here. Like, I just want to be all in because I know how quick it goes, you know, from what I've already seen and like just other parts of life too. So I'm like, that slowing down made me realize that, you know, this is it. We're in it, you know, and you don't get it back.
You really don't. And often people look at Instagram and think, that's what a purpose-driven life looks like. What about every moment where we're present for our kids, our loved ones, people in our lives that give us joy? And how can we look at the mundane and see it as part of our larger purpose and seeing it for the meaning it really gives to our lives?
Yes. I actually just talked about this today in Place of Possibility. And there's been some narrative of it on social media too, but like the romanticizing of your life. Like, for me, we like to make sauce on Sunday. We don't do it every Sunday, but whenever we can, we do. But I'm like, I am not just making sauce. Like, I'm not just throwing sauce on the stove. Like, it is something that makes me happy. It is something that, like, my husband enjoys doing. It is something that Ava likes to do now. Like, she likes to test it and, like, stir it. Like, it is a creation of happiness, of taking a typical Sunday and adding some magic on it, right? Like, in the morning when we make coffee, we turn on Dean Martin, and it is just a little bit extra. Like, are we making coffee, like, or are we making coffee? You know what I mean? And it's like, nobody is going to do that for you but yourself. So it's like, we've got to find small ways to make things more meaningful, intentional, more fun, right? It's like, if we're going to do this for as long as time, we might as well do it with our desires in mind.
Yeah, and have some fun along the way, right?
Yes.
So, Lauren, let's talk about some practical tools and coaching strategies for real life. What are some of the small, realistic changes that can make a big difference in a family life?
Well, I guess the question is, like, what do they want to change to?
Yeah. Yeah. Right. What? Right. Right. Like, habit stacking. Like, I love that idea. Can you explain what that really is and how it can really work for busy families?
Yes. So I feel like I've heard that term from Atomic Habits, and I really love that. And how I understand it is, like, when you do one thing, you do another. Mm-hmm. And a principle that I share with my clients is, like, let's just make it easy, right? Yeah. There is no prize in struggling. But, like, I work with, like, a lot of, like, very motivated working professionals that are doing all the things, wearing all the hats. And it's kind of like that narrative of, like, if we're not struggling, if it's not hard, it's not going to work, or it's not good enough. So I think it's, like, how do we create habits that really just, like, set us up for success ahead of time and that make it easy to complete, right? So it's, like, I know that when I, like, I open the fridge to grab my coffee creamer, I'm going to grab, like, a glass of water and chug it. Or I know that when I get home from, like, an outing, I'm going to refill the diaper bag right away. It's like, I take my shoes off, I refill the diaper bag. So it's just kind of like one thing triggers another thing. And that way you don't have to spend a lot of time like debating, when am I going to do it? When should I do it? Do I have time to do it? It's like, let's just do it. Because so much of our time gets eaten up in like the overthinking. It's like, all right, but I know I take my shoes off. I refill the diaper bag.
Yeah. And that sounds like a way to reframe those limiting beliefs. So many parents are challenged by that. I don't have time, or feel like I'm not doing enough. How can they begin to reframe it? You gave some examples. Are there other examples?
Yes. And here's what I want to offer about limiting beliefs. Like, the very, very first step is, I think it's really helpful to just look at what we tell ourselves repeatedly. Because a lot of these thoughts, I'm sure, are like not brand new. They're just a flavor of a different thought that we had probably before parenthood, or like an early parenthood, or whatever it might be. And just really to bring them to awareness. It's like, ooh, like, is that true? I didn't even notice I was saying that. But a lot of the things are just kind of unconscious, and they just kind of run. But what we don't maybe realize is that they're actually creating our whole life. And so in terms of time, like, I get caught up in that too. I'm like, I don't have any time, right? But I'm like, that's not true. Like, I'm doing these other things. I have time for this, right? I might not have as much time, but in the time that I do have, what am I going to do with it, and how am I going to use it?
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And what are some tools or strategies you recommend managing expectations on your own, but also the ones that we feel from others?
Yes. I think this is probably one of the biggest game changers for me in terms of managing expectations with Ava and like how things should go. Mm-hmm. And I think I shared this a while ago with you. I learned this from Byron Katie, but it's really just like you argue with reality, you lose every single time. And I keep that in mind when I'm like, she shouldn't be doing that. She should be taking a nap. She should be going to bed, or she should be eating that, or whatever it might be. I'm like, but she is not, right? And so what am I going to do about that versus just trying to like drive my own narrative of she should, like all my expectations that I have for her? Because what I've noticed is that that just sets me up for failure. And then I'm disappointed. I'm getting worked up. You know, I have like this resistance, right? Like, I'm just trying to like fight current reality, where like when I let that go, I can actually handle the situation that's actually unfolding versus the one I think should be happening. Like, I think about, we went on a cross-country road trip, and I think about this when I got caught off guard thinking like, oh, we're just going to drop our bags. We were really excited to go to Moab, Utah. And we finally got there. We were going to drop our bags and we were just going to go find a restaurant and watch those sports and then do a late night hike. And then all of a sudden I was like, oh, wait, we have to unpack. We have to get her food. We have to get extra. It was like a process. And I was like, I felt like my energy dropping. I was like, what happened here? And I was like, oh, I was just like, my expectations weren't met. But that was because like, I forgot that this is how it is, right? Versus thinking like, oh, this is how it should be. I should be on this trip and this should be easier. I'm like, oh no, this is how it is and this is okay. I just need to come back and remember that. And every time I do, like, I have an overall better time. I can show up better for her.
And I would agree too. It's important also to manage expectations with your partner, because it's important for you to be on the same page, especially in certain situations, obviously. And even managing expectations for what we think the should be as well, because that's so important. And making sure that, okay, we're on the same page, we understand it the same way, and you're managing each other's expectations as well. And that's just communication, right?
Oh, gosh. I feel like Gabe and I have had to communicate and communicate and over-communicate, and we still laugh that we misunderstand. I'm like, how did we misunderstand there? I was so explicit, and it could be about, like, anything. But I really do feel like it's, like, driving your thoughts home and being, like, explicit and, like, don't make assumptions, right? Like, that comes from the book of, like, the Four Agreements. Like, don't make assumptions. I can never assume that he knows what I'm thinking, or that he knows I want this, or that I don't want that. And it's, like, same for him. And really requires like that over communicating and like asking what the other person needs.
So good. So good. It's true. It never really ends. And again, like I said in the intro, whether it's littles or teens, you have to keep that communication going and remembering to take care of yourself. I know we brought that up earlier, and reminding yourself of your goals so that when you show up for yourself, you're showing up for others, right?
Yes.
All right. Yes. Some quick wins for listeners. What's one small thing a parent can do this week to feel a little more in control?
Ooh, I've got a few. Stop telling yourself you're out of control, right?
Okay.
Check your calendar, make some standing appointments, and follow through. But do it one day at a time. Do not, like, I know I told you to look at the whole month, but that was really just gain awareness. Like, look at your calendar day by day and go one day at a time. There is something to be said for micro shifts, because those become the macro wins. But you got to be willing to go small and make it doable and let that momentum build, and then your self-belief builds. So it's like, commit to one thing a day for yourself, or commit to one thing you wanted to follow through on, and then do it again the next day, and then do it again the next day.
Yes, so good, so good. You mentioned the importance of asking better questions. What do you mean by that? And how can parents start doing that?
I just feel like when you ask yourself questions, in a way, you're presupposing the answer. So it's like, what's wrong with me? Why can't I ever get this right? Right? It's like, something's wrong with me. Can never get it right. Right? Or like, why can't I be good like them? It's like, I'm not good at this, right? And all that to me is going to do is like drop your energy, not really give you helpful answers. Right? It's just going to perpetuate what else is wrong with me. But like when we ask better questions, we get better answers, in the words of Tony Robbins, right? And when you get better answers, you can do something with that information, right? It's like data. So it's like, instead of like, what's wrong with me? It's like, oh, what could I do better here? What could I do differently next time? Right, I call it like life lab experiment. It's like, I'm going to be like a scientist in my life lab, and I'm going to get the data, and I'm going to do something with it. Like, I need to evaluate here. Like, what worked, what didn't, and what am I going to do differently next time? But overall, like, depending on the questions you ask yourself, like, you'll just feel it. Like, you'll feel how it affects you.
Yeah, so important. And I really want to also tell some people here that are listening, if it weren't for you, Lauren, I wouldn't be here at Growing Up with Dr. Sarah. I worked with Lauren as a life coach to find what my next steps were as I was looking for some new ways to communicate with others, to be a reliable source of information. So I do want to thank you so much, because we're here because of you.
Ah. Well, I want to thank you for keep going and sharing your knowledge, and like, the world needs it. So yes, to you.
So any last words of wisdom before we go over some closing thoughts?
Ooh, I always love the thought that like, you are one thought away from a totally different life. And whether that is a total revamp or a shift in just less overwhelm, less chaos, and more peace, more calm, more control, like, you're always just one thought away, right? And there's so much possibility in that. And just keep going, because it doesn't need to be perfect for it to work. It doesn't need to not be messy. It doesn't need to, you don't need to have everything, all your ducks in a row to feel better. It's just like, be willing to get started and to keep going.
Thank you so much. Thank you for being here. Where can listeners find you? Sign up for your newsletter, connect with your work, or learn more about life coaching?
So I'm primarily on Instagram. It's at Low Nanny. So like the nanny, but with an I. And then you can go to my website, laurennanny.com. There's a bunch of ways to connect with me there. But I also do believe my email address is in my bio on Instagram. So you can also reach me via email too.
Well, thank you so much for joining us for this inspirational conversation. And if you're a parent who's feeling stuck or stretched thin, I hope you heard something today that reminds you you're not alone. It is possible to design a life that works for you and your family. To learn more about today's guest and how you can connect with her, check out the show notes. And if you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe, share it with a friend, leave a review. And until next time, take care, be kind to yourself, and let's grow up together.
produced by Audavita Studios. Connect your voice to the world.